Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan. We got snacks. We got beats. We got David Sampson, former MLB executive, current CBS HQ analyst, and host of the Nothing Personal podcast. David, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, good morning. My pleasure.
So let's start off. Obviously, the big news here in Toronto is that the Jays signed Kevin Gausman to a five-year, $110 million deal. And then immediately after we got off the show yesterday, Robbie Ray signs with the Mariners for 5 years, $115 million, player opt-out after the third season. Before we dig into the specifics on Gausman, at first blush, what is your preference there between 5-1-10 for Gausman and 5-1-15 for Ray?
I think they actually both carry the exact same risk. I view them as the same contract. I think that it's probably 1 to 2 years too many. Ray and Gausman have, you know, a not perfect track record. They both had great years last year. And I think that I understand why Toronto wanted to go 5 years. I wonder if you asked Mark Shapiro today, if you were presented with Ray at 5 over 115 and Kevin at 5 over 110, which player he would sign.
So does that imply that you think that Ray wanted more to stay in Toronto?
It certainly feels that way to me, because if they were willing to go now, there's a possibility that the front office in Toronto actually scouted and felt as though Gausman was a tick above Ray, and they felt they got the best out of him. Listen, when you win the Cy Young, I'm not sure where you can go from there. On the other hand, for him in San Francisco, he had the best year he's ever had. So I'm not sure how much incremental improvement they felt existed in Gausman versus Ray. But that said, I view them as almost equivalent.
Do you think that's the way that everybody else in baseball felt? Like when you were talking to people, did you get the sense that everyone saw those two as close? Because our vantage point, maybe it was very Toronto-centric, was, hey, Ray is the higher ceiling guy, that Gausman was more of the backup plan, not by like a wide margin. I think that when you look at their pitch profiles, what they've done, everything that you sort of outlined, that they should be close. Even Morosi came on earlier and said that he should have expected it to be closer. But I was a little surprised that the number did come in where Ray was only getting a little bit more in an opt-out clause.
Yeah, so we don't use the expression higher ceiling for someone who's already won a Cy Young. So I think that what you realize is that you're at the ceiling, right? I don't know how you get better than that. You have to win it again. You have to be as dominating as Ray was last year. High ceiling is normally reserved for prospects and people who have not done it a lot but are very young. So I would say that we saw Guerrero's ceiling as an example. I don't think he has a higher ceiling than what he showed last year, but he has the ability to repeat that, and that just makes him an all-star caliber player, you know, headed toward the Hall of Fame, if you will. So when you evaluate what you're going to do with your payroll, if you know you're willing to go to 5 years, which is an overpay, don't get me wrong, it's an overpay for Gausman, it's an overpay for Ray, but if you're willing to bite the bullet and go 5 years, most teams would say, I'd rather have the player I know than the player I don't. That said, it is not entirely unlikely that Robbie Ray said, in order to be in Toronto, I'm going to need 6 years. I'm going to need $130 million. And that Toronto just said, we're not willing to go that extra year.
So one team that has definitely spent quite a lot of money this week are the Rangers, spending $561 million this week. Are they having to overpay since they've been less competitive as of late?
No, I think that everybody who's signing players before this fake deadline coming tomorrow night at 11:59 p.m., every player, and I've spoken to people in the industry, every player has been an overpay with zero exception, literally zero exception. And there is a perfect storm now of desperate owners who are not being calmed down properly by their GMs, who believe that once the lockdown comes, the lockout comes. I said lockdown. That's funny. I've got COVID on the brain. When the lockout comes, what do we do if we don't have the players we want? Are we going to be able to get them after the lockout's done? Will there be enough time to fill our roster? I don't want to have this sort of agita of not knowing what's going to be. And the players took total advantage of that. And they made statements to teams, if you want me, I need you to hit the exact bid. Max Scherzer, you want me, Steve Cohen? You got me right now, but you're going to give me $43 million a year, not 40, not 38. We're going to break the record. We're going to crush the record. And Steve Cohen, in a fit of desperation, agreed to that. So the Rangers are an example where they've got payroll capacity because they don't have a lot of guaranteed money on the books. But I've tried to build a winner with free agency alone, and it doesn't work. And what Texas is doing reminded me of what I did 10 years ago, and it was a colossal flop. And these are huge, huge contracts that they now have. So when you say half a billion, you know, it's spread out over 7 and 10 years, of course. But an example, John Gray is an overpay by almost 50%.
Wow. That was Blake's guy over here. He really wanted John Gray.
Well, no, but I didn't think he was getting $456. They bought him. I thought John Gray was a nice candidate to perform better, but you don't pay for that out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's the thing that you need from a front office. So take a look at what Tampa, and you know I talk about Tampa a lot around Canada and on your show because I just love how they're run. They're so much smarter than the rest of the teams. They give Kluber $8 million for a year, and I bet you that Kluber has a better season than these other pitchers, only because they seem to know something that other teams don't. And when you sign players, the way players are being signed, like I'm just reading live right now, trying to multitask, that Javier Baez may get 7 years from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
7 years. It's almost absurd to me because there's no way that he will perform for 7 years at the level that they're going to pay him. But I give all the credit in the world to the players right now at the top end of the market who are taking advantage of the owners right now.
So Mark Feinstein has it, Javi Baez nearing a deal that's 6 years, $140 million, which I'll tell you this, just as a Blue Jays fan, I know it's not my money. I just want the Blue Jays to be good, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, they were rumored to be in on Javi Baez. 6 years, 140. I'm just, you know, I'm grateful that they didn't sign him to that. That's not a contract I love. But what do you think that says about what Chris Young's contract is going to look like? Because, Chris Taylor. Yeah, Chris Taylor's contract is going to look like because he is another super utility guy. He's done it in the postseason. He's someone that a bunch of different teams are coveting. An older player, but are we looking at some pretty significant money for that guy if the Blue Jays are going to be in on him?
If he gets 72 over 4 or 62 over 4 even, I think that teams who pay that will find that to be an overpay because you described it correctly. Chris Taylor is a super utility guy on a championship-winning team. He is not someone who you put into your everyday lineup, and this is nothing against Chris Taylor. Keep in mind, you need players like that, but you don't need to pay them as though they're frontline players. And what teams do who are searching for the ring and basically chasing Amy is they make players who are not everyday performers. They pay them like everyday performers. They have them play every day. And then they wonder why their team only wins two more games. And that's been going on for 20 years, that sort of concept of ratcheting people up a level when they really don't need to be there other than supply and demand. But that's where you need a good front office. You don't need to be... You know, Billy Eplin makes me smile, right? He's the GM of the Mets. You don't need a GM of the Mets to sign Scherzer for $43 million. You and I could sit with Scott Boras and say, hey, just out of curiosity, what do we need to pay you to come to the Mets? He'll say, well, I mean, 43 over 3. Okay, great, done. You don't need to be a genius to do that. The genius is in signing Robbie Ray to a one-year deal. The genius is in finding the next pitcher who's going to outperform his contract. And the way these contracts are going, it's going to be so difficult to outperform them.
It does feel like a little bit of, you know, there's going to be that class of guys who's left over. And depending on how long this labor stoppage goes, maybe there's a mad dash to sign a bunch of guys coming out of it and a couple guys get squeezed. Is there an unsigned starting pitcher out there that you like that fits that bill right now?
No, there are trades that would fit that bill right now. So I like if the Oakland is rebuilding and you've got prospects and you've got deep pockets where you know you can replenish your farm system, I'd try to go after some of their pitchers. And here's why. Too many teams, and my old team, the Marlins, they're famous for this since I left in 2017, or I should say I got fired. They're always into saying, you know, we've got now a top five farm system. Well, my view of that running team was, who cares? I'm paid to win money at the major league level. The only reason I have prospects is to try to have a pipeline where we can bring up one guy, maybe two guys during the course of a year, and use the rest of the people to make smart acquisitions where there is upside in those acquisitions. So for me, Toronto is a prime example of a team who it's okay to trade from your prospect depth to make deals to bring in pitching, because Toronto has something that most teams don't have, and that's a really smart front office.
So when you're looking at the market being what it has been for starting pitchers and infielders in free agency so far, if you're the team side, if you're a Miami or an Oakland or a Cincinnati, are you upping your asking price because you have the leverage of, hey, look at how much something's going to cost you on the free agent market? Our ask is now, you know, a 3-prospect package instead of a high 2-prospect package.
Yeah. So what we do with pitchers or with any trades we're doing is the numbers, like 1 for 3, it's really eyewash.
Right.
So what we'll do is have a team just add in an extra guy. So it looks like to our owner, we can say, hey, we got 3 back, or the media reports, hey, it's a 1 for 3 or a 1 for 4. But you're really focused on one of the prospects who you get back in these prospect deals, hoping that the one who you've identified where you see the future value pans out. It's very difficult to hit it with prospect deals because it's difficult for prospects to make it. But again, when you look at what's going on with the pitching market, you also have to realize last year's World Series, which was 2 months ago, maybe under 2 months ago, no one had any starting pitching, and they're getting rings. The starting pitching was horrific in October. Barely one guy, Valdez for Houston, went 8 innings once or something. It was just one of those examples where you needed depth. You needed arms that no one had heard of. That's, again, where front offices make a difference. Starting pitching is being downplayed in its importance right now. They don't want pitchers to go 3 times through a lineup. Yet we are bringing up the salaries for starting pitchers. And for the life of me, I can't figure that out.
Yeah, it does seem like a little bit of a, you know, there's some dissonance there, right? If these guys are worth more, but hey, you're only going to go 5-6 innings and you need more of them, where, you know, if you're a team like the Blue Jays, you're looking, it's like, hey, right now the fifth spot in the rotation looks like it's up between Nate Pearson and Ross Stripling, and maybe the sixth guy fills in for Ryu a little bit to lessen his workload. But also the Jays are still, you know, being attached to a couple of the pitching names out there. So they obviously see the need for depth. So I'm with you. There's a little bit of dissonance there. I had one follow-up for you on you mentioned that, you know, if you're a major league general manager, your commitment is to the major league roster and to winning at that level. When you look then at something like, hey, there's the Ray versus Gossman contract thing, and there's a compensation pick for losing Ray involved, and you don't lose a pick for Gossman. Do you weigh that much, or is that another thing that's just kind of the window dressing? And yeah, maybe it adds to the farm system's depth, but that's so far away that it's only a minor consideration.
I'm in the latter, and there are more executives in the latter camp than will admit, because it's sexy in the media and in public to say, oh, we guard our prospects, we value our prospects at $7 million per pick, or some other stuff that Steve Cohen has said and other GMs have said. But in the real world, you know that you get paid to win at the major league level. And if you bring a World Series to Toronto, you know that you're getting a bonus. You know you're getting an extension. When you win the AAA World Playoffs or the AA Playoffs, or you have a farm system ranked number 3, that does not add up to making money for yourself. And I've always been of the opinion that people are out to make money for themselves, which is what they should, players and executives alike. And to do it, winning at the major league level is the best way. So if you have a draft pick associated where you lose a draft pick, but you've evaluated Robbie Ray, you've lived with him for a year, and you say, you know, he won the Cy Young. We're not sure there's tremendous upside, but we know him. We know what he's like in the clubhouse. We know what he means to our team. We want to be with him for the next several years. And instead of giving that money to Gausman, we're going to give it to Ray. And yes, we'll give up a pick, but it's the devil we know versus the devil we don't.
For sure. David Sampson, former MLB exec, CBS HQ analyst, and host of the Nothing Personal podcast. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day.
David Sampson.
Did you guys know he was on Survivor?
No.
No.
Why didn't you bring that up?
Well, he was voted off first. And he lasted 3 days.
Tough.
But
that's
I
tough.
Just looked it up, and he was on Survivor back in 2014.
Yeah. First off the island is worse than last picked in gym class.
Something like that.
Yeah. What a picture he's got, too.
That's what I was showing JB.
He's in the baggy tank.
I know. That's what I laughed at during the thing. I was like, what's happening here? Where did you find that? Okay, it was from Survivor. That makes a little bit more sense. I thought that was just like from his Insta. I was like, that's tough. That's really interesting. really interesting. And again, it's not a report, but that's a guy who's pretty well connected, who's been in major league front offices. And yeah, here's what you can definitely take away from this. The Jays are bucking the norm in this situation. Even if it isn't that Robbie Ray wanted more money here, which maybe it is. Maybe that is one of the causes for it. And maybe we get that reporting later down the line or whatever. But if it's not, that the Blue Jays are doing something that's very, very unconventional in spending the same amount of money for something that you know less about. And you can make the case that potentially the Blue Jays know something about Robbie Ray. They feel there's going to be some type of regression. They feel that's hard for me to believe, considering that the Jays didn't want him to be on a one-year deal last offseason. Mm. They wanted him for more time. Mm-hmm. Robbie Ray decided to take less money.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Absolutely smart move. Absolutely smart move. And no, it wasn't for a six-year contract, and so that's what we're talking about here with this full length. But I don't think that the Jays are looking at this and saying necessarily that they think what I'm hoping for, which is that Gausman is the better pitcher next year, that he's the better pitcher the following season as well, that in the immediate future, as the Blue Jays are pushing all these chips in and they have some certainties as to like what George Springer is today, as they've got some cost certainty with their younger players, as they've got Teoscar Hernandez, which Teoscar kind of gets lost in this discussion a lot of the times, is that he's an absolute bona fide stud, and his contract, I think, is up in 2 years. And so when we're talking about like windows and what you're going to do here, that seems important. For all those people that Juan Jose Ramirez traded for, Jose Ramirez isn't here for a long time. He's here for a good time, and it's in the short term. It's in the Robbie Ray.
2 years.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, though, is when I said the thing off the top, which is to me...
Yeah, you care more about the next 2-3 years.
Yep, big time.
Because there's a championship window here, and your goal should be maximizing every ounce of any championship window.
It's just more certain. And I know that there are some people that would go, well, what about when Gabe Moreno is good, or Elvis Martinez could be good, and maybe they figure out Nate Pearson, and you're still going to have a Noah, and Barrios is still young. I go, okay, that's a lot of question marks.
Yeah, but also, if all that stuff happens, great.
Awesome.
Deal with it then.
And
you know
what's
better than 8 good bats in the lineup?
Yeah.
9.
I was just going to say that those are not problems. Those are just really great things. So if you're telling me about what if that happens, it's like, yeah, that's awesome. But you can't talk about it. Even Gabriel Moreno, who seems to be as blue chip as it gets. You know, Blake, I think you've already brought this up, but you know what misses more than any other position? Catchers.
Yeah.
Not even by a little bit, by a lot of it. a lot of it catchers miss, or they take longer to develop. And they got weird circuitous routes to get to being who they are. I'll just tell you this. I paid a lot of attention to Mike Zunino. He's had a good career, right? But he was supposed to be like a game changer for the Mariners. Game changer. Game changer. Game changer. He hits 200 and he hits 20 bombs. That's his thing.
So quickly, since the year 2000, Blue Jays prospects who have been on, Blue Jays catching prospects who have had some buzz at some point. Josh Phelps. Kevin Cash.
Max Pentecost.
Guillermo. I'm going in order.
I know. I'm trying to think of some of
the... I have the table.
Yeah, okay.
These are guys who were ranked at some point by one of the prospect. And Josh Phelps, Kevin Cash, Guillermo Quiroz, Curtis Thigpen, J.P.R. and Sebia, Carlos Perez, Travis Darno, A.J. Jimenez, Max Pentecost, Danny Jansen.
All those guys were top 100?
No, they were ranked within the system.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So they were at least a top 10 prospect in the Blue Jays system.
In the Blue Jays system.
The ones who were ranked top 100 were Phelps, Quiroz, Aaron Sebia, Darno, and Jansen.
There you go.
That's a long list of guys who were either never made it or were good for a minute, or if you're Darno, figured it out way, way later once you had a modicum of health.
Yeah. And even when it comes to somebody like Danny Jansen, who I like, and Danny's been good, solid, underwhelming at times, but solid.
Especially if he keeps pulling the ball like that.
Right. But if you recall, when Danny Jansen was coming up, there was like a sense of urgency around bringing him up because the bat started to click in the minors and people went, boy, this guy could be like a real... He was actually viewed for a little while as potentially the other guy with Vladdy and Bo that were all coming up together. And then it didn't pan out that way. So all I'm saying is like the playing the prospect games 4+ years from now is just such an absolute crapshoot that's why I don't love doing it. I'll talk prospects. It's great. I loved it when we had Keith Law on and you and Keith were going toe-to-toe, where you asked him a ton of great questions and he's informing us. I love that stuff. I want that information. My only point is that I'm not building my future around what prospects could be in 3+ years. I'm building this team around what they could do right now. And if the idea was that Robbie Ray turned down the Blue Jays, I feel worse because one, that means that he viewed living in this, like he didn't want to live in Canada. That sucks. But two would be that Gosman wasn't their choice. And I actually, now that they've done this decision, right? Now that they're here, I want to live in a reality where the Blue Jays looked at this and they said, we just think Kevin Gossman's going to be a stud for the next 3 years. Also, I don't care about it being an overpay. Like I thought no, that David bringing that up over and over was like, yeah, man, it's free agency in baseball. Like who doesn't think that's happening?
It's the least efficient way to add wins, but it's your clearest path to wins because you could just pay for them.
Yeah. But also the Blue Jays, you know, they gave out the deals to Barrios and to Gossman, but neither of them is so onerous that you're looking at it like barring
a
disaster.
You're not sweating $22 million for a pitcher at the back end, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like you know how many pitchers make $22 million to not be
right.
good?
So, all of them.
You paid Tanner Roark more than half of that.
They get Jaime Garcia got $12 million to be the worst pitcher who ever lived here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm with you. And the prospect stuff comes up or the comp pick stuff comes up because we know that this front office values that. I would just very much hope that
it didn't have it was a bonus.
If you're thinking prospect depth, prospect capital, it is because you intend to cash in some of what you currently have to add to this 2 to 3 year window.
Mm-hmm.
What you could add to your 2 to 3, it didn't work. I thought the game was within the next 2 to 3 days.
It's in the next
2 to 3 weeks. Yeah, it was.
It's in the next 2 to 3 games.
Yeah, it's a week away.
Yeah.
Anyway, hit them with it, Ailish.
Leaf fans, listen up. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Leafs' December 7th game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. All you have to do is download today's episode of the Fan Morning Show and listen for the special code word that will be included in the podcast. Once you've identified today's code word, text it to 590-590 to be entered for your chance to win. The winner will be selected tomorrow, Wednesday, December 1st. You want to go see the Leafs smash the Columbus Blue Jackets? It's that easy. You got to find my little sneaky code word that I've placed strategically. I didn't place it, but
a little sneak.
I put it somewhere in the podcast, and you got to listen, and you got to text, and then good luck. We're going to decide who wins tomorrow. Wednesday, December 1st, and it's December tomorrow. That's wild.
Well, technically, the listener is deciding who wins tomorrow because they got to engage and they got to do it. You got to play.
Right, but I'm hoping that more than one person does it.
I kind of hope it's only one person. How awesome
that would be
would
a bad ratio.
No, it would be bad for the show, but it would be really funny and cool for
like you
just
were the only
quirkiness.
One that texted. Here
yeah, we
go.
Could also be like 100% of people who texted in have won free Leafs
yeah.
tickets.
That would be a cool
like
promo.
Then we'll get a lot of texts.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, by the way, let's keep the text going. Keep them coming. Text 590-590. Keep rattling them away. And yeah, let's close this show. Let's close a text line Tuesday. It's the Fan Morning Show. Ailish Forfar, JD Bungus, Blake Murphy. Ailish made a move right there where I thought that I called you Blake Forfar. like I did that move again, but it wasn't. It was just a reaction
just
to nothing.
I like the tone of your Blake Murphy.
Sports Night out of the Van.
It's the final countdown.
No. Different song.
No, I know. It's a remix.
No,
I'm merging the two.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Guys, I know the song.
No, but that you were doing so good in terms of the podcast listeners who don't get to hear the song, and they were finally like,
were
oh,
like,
I
know
one.
That one.
Yeah, exactly. And then you did that, and
yeah,
then they were
wish.
Like, oh, what?
No, it's a fun little spin on it's our last 20 minutes of the show. So we just ate our Take 5 bars.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. And so did everyone behind the glass. And Blake also ate his. You're the only one that didn't.
I just couldn't, not to be the baby of the show. I wasn't feeling it. And I knew I wouldn't give it a fair review. I'm going to eat it tonight. And I'm going to come in here, you know, full of gusto and give a fair and honest review.
Babies do that.
Oh my God, yeah. That scared me. Over the last week, I've had a Take 5 bar in the morning. I've had Tim Biebs in the morning. And I've had... ketchup, Miss Vicky's in the morning. I gotta stop eating junk before it's 8 a.m.
I like that it took you a second to say Miss Vicky's and you're like, ketchup. And I was like, just, Ailish just crushing packs of ketchup like she's in The Sopranos, stuck in the
ew.
Woods. Yeah.
So anyway, we ate it. Blake, you can go first. What were your thoughts?
It was okay.
Yeah, like it's fine.
I didn't try the ketchup chips because I'm not a chips guy, but my brother's review of them was that it was just a good ketchup chip and no more. That's kind of how I feel about this. Is like, it was a fine bar.
So the Take Five bar is what we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe the pretzel was maybe too much. Not because it's like an overwhelming taste or texture or anything, but I really like that particular bar without the pretzel in it.
So it's
like I like a Reese.
Look, a Reese is peanut butter
covered
cup.
Pretzel.
So it's got pretzels, caramel, peanut butter, peanuts, and chocolate bar in it. Mm. I actually thought the pretzel was the only real like difference that I could taste.
Did it say it has pieces of chocolate bar in it?
And chocolate bar.
So this is like a cannibal chocolate bar that ate other chocolate bars.
Mm-hmm. It's strange.
And then we're eating it.
It's strange. I would say that next time I'm in the United States of America, I will not be reaching for this at the gas station. I was glad that Ross spent $30 to ship it to us because he lost the bet.
Are you talking like you're like, when I go back to the United States of America,
I will not
where
be
they will
eating
ask
this.
Me for US dollars. I will not go
I'm
to the gas.
I'm just being very articulate in this 30-minute block. Yeah, they're fine. They're great.
So
they're fine, they're great, and throw it away. No, but those three things don't line up together.
This is your classic case of expectation meeting reality, which is just simply Ross hyping it up, saying it's the best, saying it's the greatest, acting like a chocolate bar like savant, and sending us these bars. The weight played into it. You know,
we waited
2 weeks
for this.
And then we finally, what's happening here?
I just want to see the...
Oh, the bar?
I don't... my garbage is in the garbage.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. So... We waited 2 weeks, we got the bar, and now it's kind of like, all right, meh. I think I will give the most accurate assessment of this chocolate bar. Not to, you know, be the gatekeeper of chocolate bars here, but I actually think that I'm the number one candy baby when it comes to eating chocolate. Like, I eat chocolate at least once every 2 days.
Have
just put you on
seen
the
size of me?
You think you're eating chocolate on the daily?
Well, maybe not daily, but
close to.
I'm not
you're
chubby.
A chocolate guy?
I'm not chubby by accident.
I would say that chocolate is my number one go-to in terms of like needing a snack. I like a savory, but a sweet is give me the little bit of sweet chocolate. A baked good though, I would say more than a chocolate bar. Like I like a good cookie or a good brownie, like a good
cookie monster over here.
That's right. That's exactly right. Either way.
Yum.
Mr. Svenning eating his chocolate covered pretzel.
But now that you guys have taken this bar down, get it? Taken?
Yeah.
Down a notch, I feel like maybe my expectations will be a little lower. Also, it's Reese's, and Reese is always trying to do this spin-off of the peanut butter cup, right? They have the bar, the everything else, even Reese's Pieces that people love. It's just, the cup is just, it's the cup.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
Stop throwing your sixth best pitch.
Right. Fifth in this case. This was the fifth.
The
they were like,
five.
Ah, well, what if we throw a pretzel in it? They're like, I guess so. And people just love, this is just a sign of how dominant Reese cups are, that you can have 100 different variations of it and we're still like, yep, that's cool. We can still keep cranking these suckers out.
You can't get your pretzel over for a strike. Why are you?
Yeah.
You're literally advertising that there's little bits of a better chocolate bar in this chocolate bar.
Like,
and
don't worry.
Supposed to. Anyway, I think that's the issue with the hype here is you can't say an inferior a bar that's inferior to the simpler version of it is the best bar.
Mm-hmm.
Ailish, what do we got on the text line?
We got quite a lot on the text line.
All right.
Where to begin? I just never know what you want. Let's go Raptors. We didn't talk about Raptors
much today.
We didn't talk about Raptors much today. Rick and Markham. I'm getting the feeling here that the Raptors front office would not mind another high draft pick this year, and I don't really think they're going to force anything in trying to make this a winning team, including getting OG back in a timely fashion, from Rick and Markham.
I will say to Rick and Markham that's definitely a decision they'll have to make in January, February. With one of their young, developing players, you're not starting to shut a guy down 20 games into the season with an eye on picks. They have a fairly simple path to bowing out if it comes to that, and that's sitting Fred VanVleet, because Fred VanVleet is the biggest driver of their winning and their play. The Ken Burch and OG injuries are certainly not going to hurt if your goal is to slide down the standings a little bit, but like, we're also like a 3-game winning streak, and those guys coming back from being like, oh, could they avoid the playing game, could they? Look, realistically, come trade deadline time, we're going to be talking about, hey, should they try to get anything for Boucher? You know, what's the Dragic thing?
Now.
I know. but that requires him to have a single good game.
Yeah. I'll take a moment from Boucher right now.
An earlier game, I thought he had one good moment.
He did, and then yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a February question. You're just like the core pieces are too young, and the actual experience of playing, like look at what we saw from OG in those first couple games or before he went down. Mm-hmm. Like that's important stuff to do, and it's important to figure out. Like we've said, only 52 minutes so far. With Fred, OG, Pascal, and Scotty all on the floor together. That's the foursome you need to evaluate because you need to see if those pieces fit in a meaningful way. Otherwise, you have bigger decisions this offseason. So that's a possibility down the line, but it's much, much too early for that.
So clearly they would love another high pick. Who wouldn't? That's just like universal in the NBA. But
give me Chet.
But I would look at this right now and say, this homestand, I said it before, this homestand to me is going to determine a lot of the season. Because you look at the schedule, and now I'm sort of looking at this Grizzlies game as pretty, like, almost borderline must win. Because then you got Bucks, then you got Wizards.
Oh, I'm going to the Bucks game.
Nice. Thanks for the invite. It's two in a row that you didn't invite me. That's cool. Wizards.
This is from my friend that I scanned the tickets from, actually.
Did you scan more tickets from her?
She gave them to me for free.
Mm, yeah.
We're all good.
You get a lot of free tickets, okay?
But wait, you're not going together? She just gave you
tickets? So this quick side note. She offered me to go to the Bucks game with her on Thursday.
Oh, with her?
With her, yes. But then she said, just so you know, I'm bringing my other friend next week and we have courtside tickets. I didn't want you to be offended. And I was like, oh, you're going courtside next week.
Which game
is
that
for? Bulls game.
Yeah. DeMar.
DeMar game. And I was like, clearly you like her better than me.
Okay, so now we're here. Now who cares about my homestand thing?
Sorry. Gone. She's so lovely, but I was like, that one hurts.
You get Bucks, though. Bucks is fine.
Bucks is sweet. No, I'm happy to go with any game, but I just thought it was funny that she had to be like, by the way, disclaimer, I'm taking our other friend to the courtside seats the next week to see DeMar.
So no offense, but your friend is kind of, how do I say this politely? An idiot.
What?
Because why would you ever undercut, like, I'm so excited to go to the Bucks game. Hey, I'm going to take you to the Bucks for free. Oh my God. Amazing. I'm so excited. Thank you. Hey, just so you know, I'm not taking you to the better game with my closer friend in the better seats.
Also, they're not consecutive days. They're 2 weeks apart. You could have absolutely gone plausible deniability. These tickets came up later and I took you last time. So
no
I'm
wonder your friend
her.
Is just getting scammed out here. She's dumb.
She's too nice.
We've come full circle on the show where now we're back to where we started, except Ailish is now retroactively justified in scamming her friend out
that's
of
right.
money and tickets.
Yay, I made it.
And that's it. That's the end of the Fan Morning Show. It's been a great 8.5 weeks. We closed out the loop.
We did a great job.
We did an okay job.
Ailish
and all three of us are going away on a trip at the end of the month.
Not together.
Oh, I thought you meant me and JD.
Me, my friend, and the other friend that she's bringing courtside.
You know how that was confusing, right?
Yes. I forgot he had three of you guys.
Also, you were pointing at us.
Yeah, you were like, and all three of us are going on a trip together.
Did you guys not know? That's my gift to you.
I was like, do you mean we're going home for Christmas? Yeah. Like,
look,
what?
That Cleveland Cavaliers game in Cleveland on Boxing Day.
Yeah. Surprise.
A place you absolutely want to be in the middle of winter for a single day. To be determined, Secret Santa.
That's amazing.
We're all going to the Cavs game.
But yeah, I'm sorry. Your friend should not have said it that way. That doesn't make it better. That makes it worse. She should have just ridden it out, gone to the Bulls game with the other friend, and then been like, I already took you to a Bucks game, so that's why I took this friend. Yeah. Instead, it's like this whole...
She's just too nice for that.
But that's not nice. That's planned out where she actually had to make an executive decision, and she must be an executive because she's, sitting courtside and she's taking you to Bucks game. She just has the cash to be... Just disposable income to be taking people to games all willy-nilly. Like, who is this person? Like, is she a Bezos? Like, is she a direct descendant?
I think she is single. I was going to say, the question JD's getting at
is... He's like, give me your digits.
Yeah, no, I don't sing my own songs.
Is that the same friend?
I think so, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
She's a fan of the show.
She's
certainly listening.
That's a deep cut for our
if you know what we're
listeners.
Talking about, you know what we're talking about.
If you're in on that joke, then
By the way, did he get another date?
Yeah.
Okay.
With other friends. So then they kind of got like a chance to judge to see if they liked him or not.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And that has happened already.
It has happened already.
Were you one of the friends?
No, I had to work.
Oh. Hmm. You seem to be out of the loop on a lot of things.
I don't
courtside
know.
Tickets, validating the boyfriend. You're just, you know, what if you
they
show up?
They went to
up?
A jazz show or something, like yeah. a jazz event.
Okay. Pass. What's the Colgate Comedy Hour? Did you listen to that to prepare?
Yeah. They saw Squeaks Shorterly.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Anyway, the Raptors need to win this game tonight, actually, yes. Now that I'm looking at it. Because they have the Bucks, they have the Wizards, then they have the Thunder, which is a let-up game. But then it's Knicks, there's the Nets, there's two Bulls and the Wizards over the course of, like, the next 10 games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, even after that, it doesn't really get light for a while. So, you know.
Before we move it, you want to pat yourself on the back? Do we want to pat ourselves on the back?
For what?
Always.
Well, we talked about not long ago how that 5.5 line seemed long.
Mm-hmm.
Down to 4.
Oh! Yeah.
Raptors -4 now.
They listen to us, the power Sharks or the Books this, or whoever
honestly,
they are.
Honestly, that's the show. That's the power of the show. People heard it and they went, you know what? Except for here's the zigzag. Now I'm kind of looking at it going, Raptors need this one. They got the two best players. Let's go Raptors. Let's bet the money line.
Well,
see?
Or, I mean, the other...
I did do the money line.
I know you did.
The other thing here was you could have middled it.
Yeah. But Ailish, you got it at a worse, like you bet it too early.
Why?
Because now it's going in the other direction.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're -175 now.
On money line?
Yeah.
What did you get it at?
It's probably about -200.
Slowly loading.
Yeah, probably about -200.
Either way, all I know is that right now, this is a really important game for the Raptors. You just lost that game to the Celtics. It was pretty demoralizing because you were right there. You kind of needed it. And now this is a Grizzlies team that doesn't have John Morant. And then you've got Giannis and the Bucks and then Bradley Beal and the Wizards. I just feel like the season can get away from them very quickly here. That all of a sudden you could be looking up at the standings and noticing like a real significant gap. I think that you're always going to be like last year where the play-in game is within shot of a run so that it's never going to be like, oh, you're going full tank. Plus... you're not doing full tank because it's still so important for the Raptors to evaluate all four of the players together,
exactly.
Right? Like that's more important than trying to tank for like 3% additional lottery odds. So anybody who wants them to sit players, that's nonsensical. Like it doesn't make any sense for where they're at right now. But if you do believe in the importance of the playoffs for these guys and seeing what those four guys look like in meaningful games, then they got to put something together here. Like they really do. The Eastern Conference is not amazing, but it's fairly deep. There's not a lot of bad teams this year. Like, who are the bad teams? Orlando and Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody?
Houston?
No, I mean in the East.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Orlando and Detroit. That's about it.
That's it, right? I'm not missing anybody. There's no honorable mention, horrible team.
Neither of us is super thrilled about the Pacers.
No,
but I don't think they qualify
tracking better.
Yeah,
they got Caris LeVert back, and you go, oh, right. God, that was a horrible trade by Houston. You got Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, who are both having good years. Who are both good. Jared Allen, I just saw something from StatMuse where it's like he is dominating lately.
Yeah, and he was like +30 or something like that last night. Like obviously single game individual plus minus is whatever, but you still look at that and it's like, man, that's you won those minutes against the Dallas Mavericks by quite a lot.
Yeah, Daryl Morey, maybe just take a bit of a loss on the Ben Simmons trade considering that you have a huge win on the way that the Rockets have looked since you left, taking a G League guy and then also that trade. Oof, that's an all-time bad trade. That's worse than the, like, this could end up being just as bad as the Vince Carter trade.
So Jared Allen is averaging 16.2 points per game. What do you think his field goal percentage is this year?
Oh, 62%.
51.
Oh,
69.8.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into
I could have rounded that up to 70, but.
No, just, yeah, no.
Little assist.
In fact, math rules tell you should have.
Yeah.
What's next?
Best $25 gift to get for boys' Christmas gift swap. Adam and Guelph. You guys are boys. Quick.
$25
Christmas gift swap.
I don't know if he means boys as in like little like.
Well, I
kids.
Think guys, like the boys, not the boys.
The fellas.
The fellas, yeah. The dudes.
You do have to say the boys there, buddy.
Yeah.
Can't say boys. It's weird.
I mean, look, it's the
underwear.
No. Underwear is more expensive than $25.
Yeah.
Like a nice coffee thermos mug or something, a nice water bottle.
Wrestling t-shirt.
A wrestling t-shirt for $25? Where are you getting that giant tiger?
$25, good gift. Give me a second on that one. That's a good question.
I'm always a fan of, especially if there's a budget, I like getting people books as a gift. I like putting the thought into...
Great. We're getting to read for Christmas.
Yeah.
We're both getting books for Christmas.
He's like, I like giving people work for Christmas.
Neither of you are getting anything for Christmas. Okay. I would get people cover story by Alex Wong. I don't know. That's what I would do.
I don't know.
I like putting thought into, like, hey, what would this book mean to someone? Or
it would mean a lot of work.
$25, though, that's a really tough one. Because you can't get them, like, a nice bottle of, like, you could get them a $25 bottle of wine, but you can't get them, like, here's a nice thing of scotch. Like,
yeah, but
like,
you don't
You can get them a $20 HMV gift card in one of those little CD cases, and then you spend the extra $5 on an Orange Julius or something.
You don't, also, you don't, guys don't buy other guys wine.
Yeah, it's
you just don't do that. That's a thing that you buy to go to somebody's place.
It's liquor.
But yeah, you get a friend a bottle of booze, even if you two drink wine primarily. You still buy them the booze for whatever reason. That's just a weird guy.
You provided no answers though.
I'm trying to think.
We threw out a bunch of answers.
I mean,
books.
Yeah.
Books. Wrestling T-shirt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's
liquor.
God, please don't ever get me in Secret Santa. I'm begging you.
I've already got you several wrestling T-shirts and books.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, while you ponder that, here's one. Marco from Palgrave. Hey, that is.
What's up, Marco?
Do athletes nowadays care more about money rather than winning a championship? If this is not the case, why would Robbie Ray choose to leave Toronto when there's almost a guarantee we will be bringing home a championship within the next 5 years? This is
absolutely not a guarantee.
Yeah.
Also, the Mariners finish one game behind the Jays and are in a worse division.
Yeah.
Also, the entire criticism of the NBA is that guys only care about rings and team up too much. So I don't think that this applies to all professional athletes. I think Robbie Ray just made a choice for himself.
So I will say this. Ever since there's been money in sports, that guys have really cared about money. Also, do you care about your job more than the money? Like if they told you tomorrow, hey, you can do the exact same job over here. But it's better. Or you can stay here and make less. You'd be like, what? I'm sorry. I'm out of here. Yeah, of course athletes care about money. I actually hate when people go, is it all about the money to you? No. And also, yeah, the Jays are not a guarantee. They're not a lock. There's other factors that go into these things, right? Like, so anyway, yeah, I think it's primarily about the money. I also kind of think that it sort of should be, unless I will say, like I mentioned, I was a little disappointed in the Marcus Semien one. I'm a little disappointed. Corey Seager's already won, even though it was an Asterix World Series, but,
Semien's a better example of this than Ray because it's an exorbitant number compared to what the Jays probably would have offered, and it's a bad team.
Yeah, it's just
Ray went for not a lot more money to a team that I don't think was very good if you actually dig in last year, but was two games out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and they never make the playoffs. They stink. So that I don't know. That feels like you're never going anywhere. $25 is impossible. I got to tell you,
you're back on that.
No, but you know why it's impossible is because the good thing about gifts. Is you get somebody something that they would be like reluctant to buy themselves and they go, actually, I really like this. You know, oh, this is actually pretty nice. That's why you said underwear because dudes like hate buying expensive underwear, but that's why when you buy it for them, they're like, you know, this is actually a really great gift.
What about a nice pair of gloves or something
gloves
like a
are
nice,
not 25
a nice
bucks for nice.
Toque or a nice
not
scarf?
Not nice. Those are all trash.
Yeah, you're not getting that nice
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so what about a vinyl album or something? It's $25.
Sure. You know what? That's a good one. If you actually have a friend who owns a record player,
they're get them an album.
But
then
also, you can get them one.
$25 is the very low end.
I was just gonna say.
New one's costing you $30 plus.
Well,
so
just bargain or $5. Hustle them at the store.
Yeah, I mean, you could go binning and try to find some used stuff, but then you're giving. Then it's like, oh, well, I got you a used.
Oh, okay. A
Binning
really nice
like
candle.
You, the trash.
You can get a $25 candle that's really nice.
You can get a decent one, but if one of my guy buddies bought me a candle, I would be like, suspect, this is not.
I've received a candle as a gift from a friend last Christmas.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it because I was not yet a candle
what
guy.
What scent was it?
I was not yet a candle guy. It helped nudge me that way.
But what was the scent?
Like vanilla?
Oh, no, it was just like sweat and stale beer. And it was dude.
Yeah,
dude. Like, hey, man,
we haven't let a baseball game bleed into some old school wrestling on TV in a while. Just want to remind you of that scent of, hey, there was McDonald's here 2 hours ago and there's stale beer and
honestly,
else.
Can I just tell you that this is what I thought of though for $25? I would honestly be like, surprise them with an awesome $25 worth of like baked goods from like
That's
a
nice.
Good place around town. just like randomly shows up at their spot.
Like gourmet treats.
Yeah, like you say it's in the box and you go, what? And then you're like, I'm firing up the order right now. It's going to your apartment or it's coming here right now. Like
$25 of like Blanks cookies. You know that place I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We're not going to give them free
There's
sponsorship.
There's a bunch of those Blanks cookies and Blanks donuts or something like that.
Pie from Sherman's Pie Place.
Sherman's Pies are not as good.
The Shermanator. The Shermanator has
a... Stay away from Sherman's Pies, okay? Like, they are not good for you.
Somebody texted in, you can't even buy $25 to $25.
Yeah. All right. $25 is not what it used to be.
So a couple things just to clean up. We had talked about those Canada FIBA qualifiers. They went 2-0. The broadcast was great. Jones and Gushue teams are heading to the Olympics.
New Finland.
Yes. Leafs off again tonight, but we got Raptors versus Grizzlies, 7:30, Sportsnet, and
Knicks versus
Sportsnet
Nets.
590, The Fan.
Yeah.
If you want more Raptors talk, because we didn't do a ton the last 2 days, I'll be on Will Lou's show, The Raptors Show with William Lou.
And this show
from
tomorrow,
2 to 3.
This show, more importantly, tomorrow is where you'll be.
Yeah, also that. But everyone knows
Don't forget.
I'm on this show.
You're here forever.
Yeah.
You're ours first, okay?
And if you missed any of that stuff today or want to check it out, subscribe to The Fan Morning Show wherever you get your podcast.
And listen for the code word to win Leafs tickets.
Yes. And we got Blair and Barker coming up for the next 2 hours. They'll have more on Robbie Ray, Kevin Gausman, and a lot more around Major League Baseball. This has been Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan. Have a great day.